Heavenly Father, we come to you now asking that you would be with us all as we enter into the song service. May our songs and our hearts be acceptable to you at this time. Be with us that we may consider what we sing and how we sing it, and within our hearts what motivations we have. Father, be with us at this time also that we may have in our minds the members that are not here at this time. Be with them, guide them, have them in your care. In your Son's most holy name, amen.
I'll be reading from Isaiah 53, the New American Standard Version. I'll be reading the whole chapter. Chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And for his generations, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due. Verse 9. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, put him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 53.
Turn your songbook to number 245. Number 245. After the singing of this song, we'll ask for the Lord's Supper. Number 245.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear in eyes, where all is
turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, please. We're going to pick up in chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10, 19 through 39.
Number 425, sunshine in my soul. There is
sunshine in my soul today.
Speaking of sunshine, let's sing number 19, Heavenly Sunlight. 1-9, Heavenly Sunlight.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep air, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Still in our songbooks, number 694, Savior, Teach Me. There stands a rock. 188.
Shores of time that bridge to its hands of blood. That rock is cleft, and they are blessed who find within this cleft a rest. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages. That rock's a cross, its arms outspread. Celestial glories base its head. To its firm base my all I bring, and to the cross of ages cling. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on their fame or their treasures or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages. That rock's a tower whose lofty height illumined with heaven-founded light. Hope's wide its gates beneath the dome, where saints find rest with Christ at home. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on their fame or their treasures or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. Jesus, the rock of ages.
After we sing our next song, we'll ask Brother Mike Basinger to lead in another scripture reading for us after we sing number 480, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. If you can do so comfortably, please stand while we sing this song. 480.
No, we are bound for Canaan's land, tempting by the way. Who shall lead us on the road? Choose your king today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. When the dark Red Sea of doubt billowed in our way, then parted every wave, so he will today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Just before us Jordan rose, just across the way, we can safely trust the Lord. He shall lead today. dare to stand like Joshua, dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord.
Please go ahead and sit.
We'll be reading from Ephesians, the first chapter, if you would turn there, please. Starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in the heavens and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen.
Andy Griffith would say, that's a mouthful. Boy, there's a lot of stuff packed in that chapter, isn't there? How many of you did not pick up a copy of this as you came in? If you didn't, raise your hand. Kevin has a handful of them back there. Right down here in front, Kevin. I was asked recently why we didn't sing the songs that we wrote. They're in that little gray songbook that some of you may have in the pew in front of you. We have a limited supply of those. This song is not in that. I just finished this song. But anyway, the mistake was I was asked why we don't lead the songs that we wrote. So tonight, you're going to get a couple of them. This song sort of had its debut this afternoon at the potluck, and we're going to try it again. What I would like to do, so that everybody's on the same page once we get rolling, is I'd like for us just to sing the first measure. In the key of C, this is the starting note for the sopranos and the tenors. It goes, when God speaks. That's pretty simple. The altos and the basses go, when God speaks. So let's just sing the first measure. When God speaks. Okay, that's the easy part. I don't know any better way for us to learn it than to just sing it. Some have already sung it, so that'll be helpful. Notice at the end of, towards the end of the verse, just before the chorus, there's a little RIT that stands for ritondo. It means to gradually slow down. We're gonna exaggerate that a little bit. We're gonna really slow down right there. Then we'll pick up the regular tempo again as the chorus begins. And then we'll do the same thing at the end of the song. Let's sing the first verse. When God speaks, oh, when God speaks, my heart fills with faith that makes me whole. I'm listening to God's holy word, seeking a place of refuge for my soul, where there's a tree in the garden I've heard, and a tree God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy, in the shade of the tree of life. Okay, one thing I noticed was at the halfway through the chorus, at the word light, that is to be held for three beats. It is not a hold. We don't hold it too long, just three beats. And those altos and tenors, when we get to the end of the verse where that hold is, we're on the first verse, the word heard. We want to hear the altos and the tenors sing those two quarter notes while the sopranos and the basses are holding their note. Let's start again and we'll sing all three verses.
No. When God speaks, my heart fills with faith that makes me whole. I'm listening to God's holy word, seeking a place of refuge for my soul, where there's a tree in the garden I've heard. God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy in the shade of the tree of life, in the midst of the garden, in God's paradise. Grow branches of mercy and grace, wonderful branches, arms of God's great might, wonderful branches where I'll see His face. And the tree God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy in the shade of the tree of life. That the tree of life one day I'll reach, and where it grows waits there for me. Joy of its fruit comes from the home I crave, with leaves of healing and eternal tree God has planted stands majestically inside the gates of the city of light. Oh, I pray someday I'll be beneath its canopy in the shade of the tree of life.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy that song, and I welcome any input, negative or positive. I may or may not listen to you. I would appreciate anything you have to say about it. And if it's a song that is beneficial to us, we'll sing it again in the future. What I would like to do now, I see it's already on the screen in this book, number one. My Lord's Enduring Love.
Console me. The long road of life provides many a turn. Some I should take and some I should spurn. God's love has preserved His true word as my guide. His way is the path I must find. Lord, You are my strength and You are my song. Your love is enduring as life moves along. You become my salvation through Jesus, Your Son, and I thank You as I journey on. Each day as I travel surrounded by sin, I pray the battles I wage I will win. With the help of my Lord, with His care and concern, I am able to live and to learn. Lord, You are my strength and You are my song. Your love is enduring as life moves along. You become my salvation through Jesus your Son, and I thank you as I journey on. The goal of my walk becomes clear straight ahead, heaven to reach as onward I am led. Though at times I still struggle to live life anew, God's enduring love leads me through. Lord, you are my strength and you are my song. Your love is enduring as life moves along. You've become my salvation through Jesus your Son, and I thank you as I journey on.
Now we're going to turn it over to Steve. And please mark your song books at number 307, Are You Washed in the Blood? 307.
So to start out with a quote by the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was the coach a long time ago, Chuck Knoll. He said that if you want to win, do the ordinary things better than anyone else does them day in and day out. I told this morning I didn't realize I'd have quite as early an opportunity as this, which worked out for me, but I didn't get a chance to talk about Barnabas. And so I wanted to share this with you. But, you know, really, as you think about that, that's really what it takes to do the ordinary things better than anyone else day in, day out. What we were talking about this morning is all Christians are called to be encouragers. But some Christians will be sons of encouragement. You look in the Bible and you see someone like Barnabas. And that was the apostle's nickname for him. His name was Joseph, but no one knows him as Joseph. We know him as Barnabas. That was his nickname because he was an exceptional encourager. I was blessed, I really am blessed to know two people, more than that, but two that really come to mind. One of them I think of as my personal Barnabas, and the other one I did preacher training with, but they're both these kinds of people. Hawthorne had a gift to encourage people, to see the best in people, to just bring people up. And I met so many people. In fact, one time he got lost in the woods when he was hunting. He was there for a couple of days. And so they had sort of once they found him and everybody who was looking for him, they all kind of got together and kind of harassed him a little bit. But just, there were tons and tons of people who were there and said, he's made such an impact on me. And really, he didn't do anything special. He just made sure he did the ordinary things really well. Another friend of mine, he's my friend, and just to give you a relative, he's 70 years old, but he's one of my best friends. But he's quite a bit older than me. But I really think of him as my personal, but he is such an encouragement. I mean, everything he does, and I've known him since I was probably 12, 13 years old, and my whole life I've known him this way. Well, this last year, we were out at the dunes together, and we were sitting in the hotel chatting, and he was telling me, you know, when I was younger, I had someone tell me that I was overbearing. And so he's like, I talked to a few of my friends and some people I knew and said, am I overbearing? And they said, yeah. And he said, I'm not going to be that way anymore. And so he changed. The way I've always known him my whole life was something that he decided to be because he didn't want to be overbearing. So as you start talking about, can I be a son of encouragement? Yes, you can. You just have to be willing to put in the effort. And he did. He's like, you know, I've always had a natural ability to see excellence in people and to identify people who are capable of excellence. But he's like, but I developed that and I learned how to encourage that in others. And really, as you think about Barnabas, that's exactly what Barnabas is. He's a man who learned how to get other people to see the excellence in themselves. Open with me to Acts chapter 4. This is where Barnabas is introduced. And there's many things we mentioned this morning, but we see them played out here in Barnabas' life. The first one, he's the first guy mentioned by name, and there's two people mentioned by name that I know of that sold their property and gave it to the church, Ananias and Sapphira, and that didn't work out so well for them, and Barnabas. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Around that time period, there was a year of Jubilee, which means all debts are forgiven. If you sold your family's property, it got returned back to you. So here in Salem, the real estate market is doing really well. If you want to sell your house, this is probably a good time to do it because it's at maximum value. That's what land was like in Jerusalem at this time. It was really at the maximum value. It was right at the beginning. If you sold your land in the year of Jubilee, they had 70 years to farm it before they had to give it back. So it was a really value, you know, 70 crops in there, or maybe 70 minus 7, whatever it was. But the point is, that highest land value. And Barnabas sold his land and gave the money to the church at that point in time. He was committed. But think about this. Now, let's just say you did that. You decided, okay, I'm selling my house. I'm going to give it to the church. How many of us would do well having that broadcast saved in posterity for all times with our name? Doesn't you think there's a risk of pride there? This guy, let's just tell everybody in the church, this guy sold his house and gave it to the, you know, gave the money to the church. You can see one thing in Barnabas right away is he is a humble man. I don't think that when Luke recorded this, it was a stumbling block for Barnabas. And you see right off the bat, he was humble, but he was he was committed to humility and he was committed to the church. Now let's fast forward a little bit. In Acts chapter 9, Paul is just converted and he goes to Jerusalem and he's looking to associate with the saints. And so maybe 3 years after his conversion, but he's relatively new. And all people knew about Paul was he's the one who persecuted the church. Look in verse 26. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him, brought him to the apostles, and described to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road and had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus, and he was with them moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. See, Paul was an enemy, and maybe he was a spy trying to infiltrate the ranks, and there was already persecution starting, and the Christians were weary, but Barnabas recognized the excellence that was in Paul, and took hold of him, it says, and brought him to the leaders. What a dangerous thing. You take a persecutor of the church to the leaders of the church. That could have gone really bad. But Barnabas believed in Paul. Barnabas saw the excellence and saw the signs of God working in him. And so he learned to recognize excellence in others. But he also he trusted in Paul, and so he brought him. So he encouraged Paul in that way. Let's fast forward again to Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. This is just shortly after Peter has a vision to accept the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles were the sworn enemies of the Jews. The Gentiles were those dirty dogs that the Pharisees talked about. And Barnabas hears while he's in Jerusalem, hey, there are Gentiles accepting Christ. And now look in Acts 11, verse 22. The news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Look at what Barnabas did. a whole life of being taught the Gentiles were dirty and bad and dogs and whatever else they said, whatever other prejudice, whatever other negative thoughts, Barnabas set that aside immediately when he knew that they were accepting Jesus Christ. He was willing to set aside his preconceived notions of who they were or what they were, and he accepted them. That's something, you know, that's something we know to do. But Barnabas was extraordinary at it. He did it immediately, and he accepted his brethren. Really, that he set aside preconceived notions, accepted his brethren who turned to the Lord. Now let's go ahead and fast forward a little bit more. Barnabas is in Antioch, and it's going well. And you know what he thinks? We could use Paul here. So he takes it on himself. He does the work to travel up to Tarsus, which wasn't terribly far away, but he didn't know exactly where Paul was. It says in verses 24 and on, it says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found them, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So here again, he's like, you know who I could use beside me? He's being an exhorter. He goes and gets Paul. And he brings them back, and they just become a wildly successful church there in Antioch. And so here again you see Barnabas being just an example of being an encourager. Look in verse 30 now. Agabus comes and says that there's going to be a famine in Jerusalem. And so in Acts 11:30 we see Barnabas being one of the men sent to Jerusalem to carry that aid. And so he was trustworthy, he was honest, he was sincere and genuine. And so we see some of those characteristics that it takes to be a encourager. Just honest, sincere, genuine, trustworthy. I can give him a bunch of money and know it's going to get where it needs to go and be accounted for, and he's going to treat them right when he's down there. And so he went and did that. In Acts chapter 13... 1-3. Here again we have some prophets get a message from the Lord, and the Lord says, I want Saul and Barnabas to be the first Christian missionaries. Barnabas was so good at doing the ordinary things that God chose him to be the one to go out into the world and to represent the church and to just go and convert people. So here again, you just see the qualities that Barnabas had were qualities that God could use in all these ways. And then finally, in Acts chapter 15, and maybe this is one of the most often quoted verses regarding Barnabas. It's a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas regarding John Mark. In verse 38, Acts 15:38, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated one from another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, being committed to the brethren to the great being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. Barnabas didn't give up on people. Barnabas saw the potential in John Mark, and he refused to give up on him. To the point where they separated the team, Barnabas and Paul team, and they both went their separate ways. But Barnabas was right in his sticking with John Mark and encouraging him and bringing him along, even though John Mark had failed them. He didn't take that into account. He knew there was potential here that needed to be encouraged. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, Paul brings up John Mark one more time. He says, send John Mark, for he is useful to me. See, all those years ago, there's a sharp disagreement, but Barnabas was on the right end of that argument. Barnabas chose to put his faith in a man who had abandoned them when they needed him. And yet, it was because Barnabas was an encourager that John Mark was put into that type of useful service. And so the point is, any one of us can be a son of encouragement. But you have to do the ordinary things. Trusting in people. Being humble and committed to God. You have to learn to look at and recognize excellence in people. Well, we should be doing this anyway. We need to learn to set aside our prejudice and preconceived ideas and accept our brethren where they are and help them. We need to get useful people involved in the work. Right? This is all stuff that Christians should be doing. But I really appreciated that quote. If you want to be a son of encouragement, do the ordinary things better than anyone else does them day in and day out. Be consistent, be committed, and to doing what God has called us to do. Those type of people will be sons of encouragement. If you're here tonight and you would like to turn your life over to the Lord, if that's something you need to do, or if you're walking away from the Lord, or you're stumbling in your walk with God, and you want to make that right, I would encourage you to come forward and ask for help. There is help, and we would love to help you with that. So if there's anything we can do for you spiritually, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Is it number 307? 307.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed in the blood,
in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you, Steve. And thank you, song leaders and scripture readers. Good to be here today, and thank you all for being here. And we will just remind you that we have classes on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Is there anything else that we need to mention? We're going to close with a word of prayer, and Brother Richard Porter is going to lead us.
Let us pray. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, through whose Son the entire universe was created, and by whose power all things in the entire universe is held together, we're so thankful that you've made provisions for us to serve you and be in your presence. We're so thankful for the church, especially the church that meets here. That pray that you'll be with each of us and help us to think about the things that were discussed today. Help us to think about your word and help us to grow and learn, and help us to encourage one another, and help us to be allow ourselves to be encouraged by one another. Be with us and help us to always strive to grow stronger, and help us to have the kind of influence on ourselves and others that we need to have, that we might truly be your children and your servants. Be with us now as we leave this place, and help us in all of our ways to show your light, your glory in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.